The forecast, a breeze blowing hard.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Federal Reserve begins its two-day meeting on interest rates today. No one is expecting rates to go up. Last week, Chairman Ben Bernanke said the economy still faces, in his words, formidable headwinds. Those gusts are certainly being felt in the airline industry. A new report today finds a turbulent outlook remains for the new year. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The International Air Transport Association, or IATA for short, says demand is starting to come back, but the association predicts the industry will lose $5.6 billion next year. Compare that to a loss of $11 billion this year.
We're seeing demand return, but the question is, what are the fares that people are paying? And then what are the costs looking like for the airline industry?
Steve Lott is a spokesman for IATA. He says airlines slashed prices when the recession began and haven't been able to jack them back up again. Now Lott says the concern is that as demand returns, so will high fuel costs.
For 2010, we're predicting an average oil price of about $75 per barrel, which is up considerably from about $62 average expected for 2008.
Lott says there is one bright spot in the report, Latin America. It's expected to be the only profitable region of the world's airline industry next year. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Now, the industry is hoping for some much-needed lift from Boeing's 787 Dreamliner. The company is expected to test fly the jet in Washington State today. Let's check numbers. European shares are lower right now, 0.25%. Asian markets closed mostly lower as well. On Wall Street yesterday, markets showed a little zing. The S&P and NASDAQ tacked on under 1%. The Dow added 29 points to close above 10,500. At the first of the year, the federal estate tax will disappear, but it's set to come back in 2011 if Congress does nothing. That's due to the way the Bush administration's tax cuts were written. Well, today, a group of some of America's wealthiest people will argue the tax shouldn't expire. From Washington, Brett Neely has more.
The House has already voted to extend the estate tax through next year and beyond. It will apply to estates larger than $3.5 million. Now it's the turn of the Senate, which is occupied with health care. Members of the Gates and Rockefeller family say the tax is essential to preventing an aristocracy, says Lee Ferris. She's an organizer with the group United for a Fair Economy that's working with the families.
Our country is founded on being a meritocracy where you have to get ahead on your own merit.
In the big picture, the estate tax is pretty small. Fewer than 1 in 400 families ever pay it, according to the Tax Policy Center. And it will raise about $14 billion this year, compared to over $800 billion from the income tax. The center's William Gale says the Senate will probably continue the estate tax.
They don't have the guts to raise the tax, and they can't afford to reduce the tax.
Gale adds that if the tax does go away for a year, 2010 could be a very good year for wealthy people to die. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. By the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And by Bank of America, 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low- to moderate-income communities.
We're a couple of days into week two at the UN summit in Copenhagen. World leaders continue to grapple with the issue of climate change. Marketplace is there with reporters covering the meetings. In the insurance business, a changing environment means changing risk. Over at one of the world's largest reinsurers, they're looking at how that can affect areas and properties it covers. David Bresch is head of sustainability and emerging risk at the Swiss reinsurance company. He joins us now. Hi, David.
Morning.
I'm curious why an insurance company would be interested in addressing climate change.
Climate change being probably the key risk of this century, definitely we have to figure out what are the consequences of a changing environment, a changing climate on our existing risks, the risks in our books, and where can we provide solutions to societies in order to better cope with a changing risk landscape.
So what are you doing to address these issues?
Basically, make sure we do understand the risks we are underwriting, and understanding the risks that not only mean looking back in a mirror, but it definitely means also envisaging the future, and especially through simulation techniques, making sure we understand the different possible futures we have to face, and we make sure we put them into our considerations.
Now, you looked at 8 locations, including right here in the United States, in Florida. So give me some examples of what you found in the state of Florida.
Basically, we said if we'd like to help societies develop in a resilient way, then we need to understand what does a change in climate mean to local communities. And namely, the one for Florida shows us that 40% of the loss projected by 2030 can be avoided by cost-effective measures. For example, if greenery is well maintained and kept, reducing flying debris, so to speak, that has a positive impact, or reduces losses in case of a large tropical cyclone event. And then in addition, definitely when it comes to the insurance side of the balance sheet, then it's making sure that the pricing of these covers is risk adequate.
So is the pricing risk adequate?
The point is, regarding climate change, this has to be looked at very carefully. And indeed, in some areas, we are of the opinion that the pricing is not sustainable. And it will take quite some time for communities to properly understand the risk landscape in order to come up with a strategy to foster resilient development.
Well, David Bresch, head of sustainability and emerging risk management over at Swiss Re, we do thank you for being with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
And finally, from climate change to spare change. A Salvation Army bell ringer collecting money at a shopping center in Connecticut got a surprise. A rare 1881 half-eagle gold coin was dropped into the tilly. The rare piece is the size of a nickel, but could be worth hundreds of dollars. Officials knew they had something special when the coin wouldn't go through their change counting machine. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.